A four-year-old state law allowing companies to offer daily fantasy sports, an internet game where you put up money and win money based on your ability to forecast what might happen in a sporting event, was struck down last week by a mid-level appeals court that determined it violated the state constitution. Joining me now to explain what happened and what might happen moving forward is Rob Rosborough, a litigation partner at Whiteman, Osterman & Hanna in Albany, and the author of the New York Appeals blog, who first reported the court's decision. Thanks for joining the show, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
For background, can you explain the legal challenge to the law that was initially brought and heard in state Supreme Court?
Sure. You have a group of plaintiffs who brought a challenge to the 2016 interactive fantasy sports law, arguing that it violated the state constitution's ban on gambling. What they said is the daily fantasy sports games are gambling because they offer a contest of chance, where skill is a little bit involved, but you can't take the chance out of it, where the players don't control what happens on the field. They don't control the performances. So that is gambling under the definition that they advocated should be used for the state constitution.
And when we're talking about the state constitution, there's, you know, a definition kind of gambling, I guess. What does our constitution say about gambling?
So our state constitution has a broad ban on gambling. It bans lotteries and bookmaking and any other form of gambling. It doesn't actually define gambling, but it provides some substantive examples of exceptions, like for the casino games that was just enacted in 2013. What the court held this time, both in the trial court and now at the appellate division, is that although the state constitution doesn't actually define gambling, the legislature provided a definition under the penal law. And what they basically said is, if you're wagering something and expect something in return if you win, and the contest involves what's called a contest of chance or a wager on a future contingent event over which the bettor doesn't have any control, then that is a form of gambling that the Constitution prohibits.
So the plaintiffs in the lower level court were successful in the sense that they found that the law itself was unconstitutional, but they also, the judge seemed to upheld the legislature's ability to remove criminal penalties, essentially decriminalizing this. What was the judge sort of going for there?
So what the judge said at the trial court was that the legislature has the power to decriminalize activity, even if it's prohibited by the Constitution, because there can be other penalties imposed. So like there could be civil penalties or something else imposed by the legislature in place of criminal penalties. So that's what the trial court held. Mm-hmm. When it went up to the appellate division, though, the appellate division said, because all of the games are gambling and prohibited by the state constitution, there needs to be some penalties imposed. And this law only decriminalized daily fantasy sports. It didn't actually impose any other penalties. So what the appellate division said was the whole law, except for one tiny little provision that says non-regulated games are not permitted, is unconstitutional because it doesn't provide those penalties that the state constitution requires.
I really enjoyed going through the ruling, which you flagged for me, which talks about basically saying just because the legislature says something is not gambling doesn't make it so. I mean, is that a fair way to describe what the majority opinion was on this?
Yeah, that's what the majority held. When this law was being enacted in the legislature held hearings and took testimony from a various number of experts and made legislative findings that daily fantasy sports wasn't gambling because the degree of skill predominated over the element of chance in the game. What the court basically said was, well, that's great, but it's still for the courts to decide what a material degree of chance is under the Constitution. So whether the legislature says it or not, it's still for the courts to review and decide whether that's true.
And there was a dissent in the opinion as well, right? What did they, was this person, this lone voice, what were they saying?
So Judge Pritzker dissented at the appellate division. What he said was the standard of review here is much, take a step back from what the appellate division majority said. What he said is if the legislature rationally concluded that daily fantasy sports isn't gambling based on the definition that the legislature had provided and all of the evidence that it took during the legislative hearings then that has to be deferred to by the courts, mm-hmm. because the burden on the plaintiffs to show that the law is unconstitutional is very heavy. They have to show that it's unconstitutional beyond any reasonable doubt. So in that case, what Judge Pritzker said was the majority went too far in telling the legislature that its findings weren't rational. And he would have said that all of the evidence in front of the legislature, it wasn't for the court to decide.
That's interesting, because when you and I talked about this case, I think in November, you sort of said this was kind of a toss-up decision, which way it would go. You said when I pressed you, you had to make your bet on it. You said you kind of made that argument, said that there seems to be a deferral. So it's interesting to see that you were wrong, but we'll still have you on in the future.
Right. Well, thank you.
So I'm curious, what happens now? I mean, DraftKings and FanDuel are still operating. Those are two of the big players in the sector. How come they're not struck down right now and the cops breaking down their doors and stopping everything?
Sure. Well, in this kind of case, the state has a right to appeal to the Court of Appeals because there's a unique jurisdictional predicate that says when there is a substantial constitutional question involved in a case, like mm-hmm. we have here, like what the definition of gambling is under the Constitution, okay. then the state has a right of a direct appeal to the Court of Appeals. And if once they take that appeal, they get what's called an automatic stay of enforcement. So the appellate division order can't affect the status quo until the Court of Appeals actually decides the case once and for all.
And as of Monday morning, the State Attorney General's office told us that they're still reviewing the case and deciding whether they're going to make an appeal. But one of the operators, I believe FanDuel, said that they expect there to be an appeal, so their business as usual. Is there anything else to look at this decision in terms of its ramifications for other gambling issues? I mean, should we read anything into this with regards to mobile sports betting, an issue that some lawmakers in New York want to see addressed during the 2020 session?
So this shouldn't affect mobile sports betting. Mobile sports betting is a different animal altogether. Mm-hmm. The casino gambling constitutional amendment in 2013 provided specifically to allow sports betting. And mobile sports betting is just a different way to offer the authorized online or sports betting that would be permitted under the Constitution under that exception that was granted. So what the difference here for DFS, at least what the majority of the appellate division held, was because this is a substantive form of gambling, it would need an exception to the constitutional amendment to authorize it. You couldn't just authorize it by mere legislation. So it shouldn't affect the mobile sports betting. That's hung up in a completely different issue.
Now, I gave you a hard time for your last prediction on this. This is if it does go to the Court of Appeals, and do you think it will go there?
Absolutely.
What's going to happen?
I'm going to stick with what I said before, just to be consistent. I think that when you get to the Court of Appeals, there's going to be a lot of focus on what the standard of review is mm-hmm. and what the definition of a game of chance actually is, breaking down what's a material degree of chance and what isn't. I think that the state makes a very strong argument that the legislature, having provided the definition in the first instance, should be able to apply that definition and make legislative findings. And as long as those are rational, they should be permitted to survive. But they didn't win the day at the appellate division, but I still think it has a good chance at the Court of Appeals.
And what sort of timeline are we thinking about in terms of the court hearing this case and deciding on it?
So once an appeal is taken, it's usually a year to a year and a half before you find a decision. So there has to be full briefing by all the parties. There needs to be chance for unrelated third parties to weigh in through amicus briefs, like we saw at the appellate division. And then they'll schedule argument and eventually decide. But I wouldn't expect that for probably about 18 months.
And then to be clear, though, we expect that an appeal will come this week, though, or at least a notice to appeal or something like that.
Right. Notice of appeal should be filed this week.
There shouldn't be any interruptions in the meantime.
I wouldn't expect so.
Interesting. Very interesting. And that's pretty much all we have time for, Rob. We've been speaking with Rob Rosbro, a litigation partner at Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna in Albany, and you can follow his work as the New York Appeals blog, and he's also on Twitter. Where can we find you on Twitter, Rob?
NYS Appeals on Twitter.
Sounds good. We've been speaking with Rob. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
Support for the Capital Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.